South Africa produces more than 125 million tons of waste each year, yet only a fraction is recycled. Plastic pollution is choking rivers, poisoning oceans, and infiltrating our food chains, a crisis that is continuing to grow. But in the Paarl, in the Western Cape, one company is turning this challenge into opportunity. Lily Lumpa, founded by Liesel Nadir, is transforming discarded plastic and other waste materials into homeware. And today, Liesel joins us in the studio. Hi, Liesel. How are you?
Hi, Linda. I'm great. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So what motivated you to start Lily Lumpa?
Okay, it's a bit of a long story, but I'm going to try and just shorten it a bit. So my family and I lost everything a few times. And there was a period of about 10 to 12 years where we literally had no income. We had no opportunities. We were struggling. We lost our properties. We lost our cars. We lost everything. We lost all our material possessions. And this was due to, you know, we were young, we were entrepreneurs, we were, you know, bright-eyed, and we made some rookie mistakes. And this obviously catapulted into a bigger financial, you know, season where we, you know, struggled a bit. But through all of this, we were moving around quite a lot. If I can shock you, we've been married for 23 years. We've moved over 44 times as a couple. So it's quite intense. So we found ourselves in new spaces all the time. So as a creative, I had to think creatively of how, as a mother and a wife, can I make this home as cozy and as comfortable as soon as possible? So my upcycling brain started working. You know, I was always looking for materials and things that I can reuse in my home, whether we needed a dining room table, whether we needed art on the wall. So the seed was sort of planted in a very informal way of how I can reuse waste or secondary material in a new way. And I saw the possibilities. At the time, we were also living in Johannesburg. And around 2014, 2015 is when I really thought about it as a business concept. So we started trading in 2016. We moved back home to Cape Town end of 2016. And in 2017, I started with a whole new range here in back home in Cape Town. I started designing products specifically for tourists as souvenirs, etc. And then we officially registered the business in 2018.
And the business, how's that going? You know, have you had funding from outside?
It's going great. Since 2018, quite a lot has happened. First of all, upcycling is a fairly new concept in South Africa. So we've been at the forefront. We've been a pioneer in this industry, making the way, paving the way. And that obviously comes with a lot of challenges. You know, it's new. It's a lot of education. The curve is quite high to try and convince people about the value of waste. And that's why it's so important to us to create and design beautiful items that people can use in their home so they can realize the value. Since 2018, we've managed to now set up our own facility. We employ 4 people. And we have quite a list of amazing clients. People are buying into the concept. And the whole idea is that, you know, as corporates and retailers, you position yourself as a responsible citizen and business if you have a product like ours in your offering, whether this is for a corporate gift, whether it's a product that you sell on the shelves. It just puts you in a different league. So more and more every year we can see, you know, the trajectory is actually going upwards. People are buying in, people are understanding. And, you know, corporates and businesses are pretty soon they're going to be forced to look at waste and how, and they already are. I mean, legislation already says, you know, that this is you as a business, you need to be responsible in terms of your waste management. So instead of only sending it back to the landfill, because the shocking statistic is that only about between 9 and 11% of recycling is recycled. And our job is to intercept that waste. and create products that can remain in the circular economy.
So give us some examples of what you take and what you create from it.
Okay, so I think I've just been blessed with a gift that when I see a material, my mind starts to work and I look at the possibilities. And then obviously it's not as easy as having the idea today and having the product on the shelf tomorrow. There's a process of experimenting and R&D. And as I said, it's all new to all of us. We've never done this before. So it's sometimes very experimental. And it's sometimes also challenging, but it's a challenge that we accept every day. So the kinds of materials that we work with is first and foremost plastic. And this is for Lily, it's a lifelong dream, because for years we couldn't actually work with plastic because we didn't understand the nuances. We didn't have access to the equipment, and no one else in South Africa was doing it. So we couldn't refer to anyone else. So it's a lot of research and development that happened. I actually started in my kitchen in lockdown. I started experimenting with plastic. So now we have a full range of plastic products. And we collect this from either the client themselves, or from the streets, or from landfills. And the community, they're so amazing. People love to help and they love to donate their waste because they also want to do the right thing. And then because we're situated in the Cape Winelands, naturally lots of wine bottles in the bins. So we have a wine bottle range as well. We also work with wood, and then we've got a cute product. It's actually our first product that we launched. It's called the tuna can, and it's made with a tuna tin. And we've designed a little lid for it, so it becomes a storage holder that you can use on your desk. And this is perfect for a traveler or a tourist that visits South Africa and they want to take something home that they can use daily, whether it's for their jewelry or for their stationery on their table. But yeah, all in all, we do custom work. We do trophies with plastic. We've recently done an amazing project with the Stellenbosch University. So we've made trophies in their distinct maroon and gold colors for the they've got a few departments, and they had the award ceremony, but it was made with HDPE, with milk bottles, and it's made in the custom color. So that's the perfect scenario for us, where organization or a business comes to us and say, listen, these are our colors, this is our event, this is what we would like to do, let's work together. You know, that collaboration and that working together is actually also quite nice.
And the business, how's that going? You know, have you had funding from outside?
Yes, well, it's always difficult, as I said, but there are a lot of programs available. We have been blessed to have opportunities to travel, to take our product, you know, on a global stage. So we've recently done two international trips through the local government and the local agencies. So we've been to Atlanta in September, October, and then we came back, and then we went to Germany for 3 weeks. So we've just completed the program in Germany as well. So through the, you know, the channels, local channels available, there are you know, programs available for businesses like ours to access. But all in all, I mean, the onus still rests on us as the owners. My husband and I are a team together leading this company. So we're always looking at opportunities. He always says he works on the business. He's the strategic person. I work in the business. So together we make a great team. It does come with challenges, you know, working together, living together. But we try and make it happen. And since he has joined, you know, things have changed for the better, because, you know, it's just too much for one person to do. So in that way, we try and see what opportunities are available. And that's largely a big part of his job description. And we've had a lot of success through that.
So where do you sell your products?
So we, first of all, as I said, we do the corporate gifting. Then we also sell on Table Mountain. We sell at Two Oceans Aquarium, at Boulders Beach, at Exclusive Books at the Waterfront. We've got a few local stores in Stellenbosch as well. So wherever there's an opportunity, we try and grab it. The Cape Town shops are quite nicely positioned. So it's a nice place for us to display our offering. And then in the new year, we also have great plans to extend and, expand our retail store footprint. We have had some requests as well for our own physical store. We tried a concept store about 3, 4 years ago. It was good, but I think in hindsight, the lesson we learned was that location is key. So we didn't have the proper location, but we learned an immense a lot. So we can definitely use those learnings and apply it and hopefully also find, a nice space that where, because you have the last minute shopper who wants to shop into those, pop into your store and buy something off the shelf. We do have an online store. However, our shift for the last 2 years, or we pivoted about 2 years ago, where we mainly focus on the B2B market, but there is still space for the B2C. I mean, these are the clients that have been supporting us for years. They've been following us on socials. They understand the backstory. They see the growth and they feel part of the journey.
So, what kind of feedback do you get from people who buy your products?
In general, it's very positive, especially when it adds value to their daily lives. For instance, as I mentioned to you, our My Africa lab desk has remained a firm favorite. I designed the product in lockdown 2020. We were all at home. We had time, and I had this idea for an African artwork for for my wall, and I initially cut out two pieces. And then eventually the outside frame, I'll share some pictures with you. The outside frame became the popular item, but then I was left with the actual African boards and I didn't know what to do with it. And then this idea came to me that I'll add legs and I'll make a foldable lap desk. I'm actually using it right now, but this product has a way of once the mom purchases this item and brings it home, immediately there's a fight because now everyone needs this desk. You don't understand. I need this desk to do my homework. Or the other one says, no, I need a desk because I need to do my art. So this one piece becomes this, it just creates this rivalry in homes. And then usually they will give me feedback to say, listen, we need another one. So that's music to my ears because I can see the value because you can upcycle and just make ornaments. I don't want to make ornaments. I want to make a product that someone can use. So these are, as I said, storage holders, the small lap desk or the furniture piece, which is also amazing for students or people that live in small spaces because it can be folded and it can be hung on the wall as a piece of art. I've recently hand delivered one to Germany. It was quite nice. I carried it onto the metro and I delivered it to the client in person. So that's quite nice. And it's also heartwarming to know that the product is, in global homes, all over and people appreciate it. And it's also that connection with Africa, the idea that it was made in Africa with waste material. It just creates that sense of connection, to the motherland. And then people feel good when they can purchase something with a mission, something that makes a difference. And especially if they can, use it on their table. We have a tabletop accessory range where we have platters, we have salt and pepper shakers. Obviously, we've got carafes and drinking glasses. And all these items are conversation starters. We want to start the conversation of, the value of waste. And if this conversation can happen at the dinner table, I'm happy. If we can start changing people's behavior through one of our pieces, it makes the whole experience and the whole challenge, of running this business all the more worthwhile.
Okay, I'm definitely going to buy one of those laptop desktops.
I can come hand deliver it to you.
Ooh, I can't wait for that. So, the name Lili Lumba, where did that come from?
So it's a very personal name. So Linda, I was one of those children, or when I was finished with school, I didn't know what to do, but I always remembered that I'm a creative. Since I was a young child, I just saw these signs, along the way. And I have to admit, through the schooling system, it wasn't really identified early on. So I didn't know, that this was my makeup. But when I eventually when my husband and I were married for 5 months, I had an unfortunate accident where I fell off the stairs of our duplex apartment and I nearly broke my back. So I was bedridden for 6 weeks and I had strict instructions from the doctor. No driving, no moving, no doing this, no doing that. Absolute worst nightmare for a creative like myself. I was bored to tears. And after 2 weeks, I felt better and I snuck out of the home. I got into my car and I went to the bead shop and I went to buy some supplies and I started making jewelry in my bed. And when my 6 weeks were over at home, I went back to work. I was in corporate and I started wearing my jewelry. And unexpectedly, my fellow colleagues started saying, "Listen, can you please make me one?" So this little business started on the side. And I didn't have a name for it. And then a friend of mine, who's a creative, he's an art director, he said to me, "Listen, if you want to build a business with longevity, you're going to have to find a good name." So he challenged me to find a good name. I actually resigned at the time because I knew I wanted to pursue something different. And my job sent me to the Kaka in Ka on my last trip because I was also involved in events. And I remember this one night I was in the guest house and it was the, Oudtshoorn, the weather can be quite heavy and, dark. And this one night there was a thunderstorm and I was sitting in my room and I was making notes of, how did this idea start? And I was going deep into my, history. And I wrote all the things down that were important to me as a child. And I remember that my nickname was Lily as a child. My cousin struggled to say my name, and I had this. My grandma had a best friend, and she called me Lily. And then Lumpa came from the Oompa Loompa character from Charlie in the Chocolate Factory, which was my favorite children's book. So initially, I wrote down Lumpa Lily, and I was like, "Oh, I'm onto something." And then when I swapped the words, there was this huge thunderbolt, lightning bolt, and I knew this was the name. And since then, it's just stuck. So Lily is my alter ego. People still call me Lily as well. And I just feel it's a creative company. Eventually, it's going to become an umbrella company of, many different creative divisions within it. So it encompasses who I am and who the business, has become, and where we aspire to be in the future.
Well, where do you aspire to be in the future?
We have great plans. On top of it is to, continue making an impact in our community, in our region, in the world by creating income opportunities for people, and then sending our products into the world. We have a great project that we've embarked upon called Project 99, where in 2030, in 5 years or less, we would like to employ 99 people. So that is our goal. And everything that we do has to now align with that. We believe we've been laying the foundation over the last few years. As I mentioned, it's been quite tough, changing people's minds and educating, but I believe we've laid a solid foundation and now we're building from that. We've built up a lot of credibility, even through the awards and the programs that we have won in the past. So that has positioned us as, a serious contender in this industry, especially in South Africa, because I haven't seen what we do. I haven't seen it on the shelves here. So we are a pioneer in that sense, and it's a huge responsibility. And we are grateful and we don't take it lightly. It's really an honor for us to be in this position.
Well, Liesel Nadir, thank you so much.
Thank you, Linda. I appreciate this opportunity.